Scott, we're back. We're here on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. By the way, if you have not so far done so, please listen to us online. If you're outside of Stouffville, you're going to have a hard time hearing us. So, you know, use your computer. Go online, search out 102.9 FM Stouffville or whistlefm.com, and you will find your way to listen live to us, which is, I believe, the future of this type of radio anyway. So, you know, and then the more you spread it around, the more you can put it on social media. If you think anything you hear would be advantageous to anybody, to benefit anyone in any way, please share these programs. They come out via podcast, by the way, by the following Saturday. So, otherwise, by Saturday, you can go to sharingtheburden.ca. You can go to stbradio.ca. And you can grab a copy of the podcast and share it around. Maybe you'll save a life or two. So, Shannon.
Yes.
Back on inventory. And still looking at this word resent, resent versus forgiveness. And the whole theme of this moral inventory based on that little sheet like you have in front of you there. You know, I think there's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 liabilities and 10 assets or 10 things to strive for that offset these liabilities. That simple little sheet has taken so many people to a place where they're really able to think about where they're flawed more than other areas of life. And working on the one major flaw, in my experience, has had the other less major flaws fall into place as I worked on the one that was major. So, whether that's some sort of concept I just can't describe, it seems to work. However, resentment, the first one on the list, is a word that's said in the circle of addictions and especially recovery programs to be the main cause of relapse in the world of addiction. So, if we have a resentment, it's so important that we deal with that resentment instantly and don't wait till we do a, you know, a 10-year inventory or something like that because, well, as you know, step 10 says we basically do a mini inventory all the time as we're going along and correct things as we come to them. So when you resent, when you pick up a resentment along the way now, and I mean, we know the offsetting word is forgiveness and just in and of itself, when I think of somebody I'm building resentment, if I remember to think just that word, I stop, you know, building the resentment, like instantly. It's okay, if the answer is to forgive, you know, how do I forgive? What do I do? Well, maybe I say it, maybe I don't, maybe I just believe it. Maybe I do something special for that entity that seems to be rubbing me the wrong way. And, you know, in essence, then I'd be showing love the way I think I'm taught to show love. And magically, you know, this person who I resent, more than likely, I resent something in my own character that I see mirrored in that person. So, a lot to be learned out of handling a resentment. How are you with resentments? And, do they come back or?
They do come back. It's an ongoing process. I came into the recovery program with a resentment towards God. Mm. And I believed at that point that I was being punished for things through God because of my lack of understanding. And really, when that was broken down, I realized I resented myself. And that's where my freedom was found, when I forgave myself. Mm-hmm. And then looked to God to say, now, who am I in you? Because who I've been against myself and labeled by, unfortunately, by the world, mm-hmm. was not my reality. And that's where it began, was to say to God, I have resentment towards you because of this pain you've caused. And then, mm-hmm. again, it was the mirrored back onto me. Well, who is it that you're really angry with? And it was myself. Mm-hmm. And it ties in with the radical acceptance. I had to get to a point, and it was not instant. Often times in my life, I've wanted something instant, and then I feel like I'm going to now move out from that instant. But recovery is not instant. It takes time, and it takes understanding. But the more that I could look at myself and my flaws and faults and accept myself, the greater things got. And the less I began looking at other people and resenting them.
I hear you. So recovery really is a way of life, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and, well, for one thing, I think everybody who walks the planet has something to recover from, even if it's the flawed nature of mankind. But more than likely, recovering from who I am, who I've become, you know, I'm not perfect. You know, thank God that I've been brought to my knees in these kinds of programs, you know, to the point where I had to have a look at, well, what's my part in this whole deal, you know, and to do as you did, to challenge the Almighty and many other things, you know, in life and other people till I learned that, or till I came to that, you know, final choice to accept that everybody was, perfect in some master's plan, even though it didn't fit very well into mine the way I saw it. So, it becomes a way of life, you know. I try and tell people, like, we all need a program for life, you know, of some sort, and a program that works, you know. And if I found one that works for me that incorporates a good way to live, a good way to treat people, and also has the spirituality that this guy hungers for anyway, and everybody doesn't, but I do, and I want to know about things, and, you know, I want to know the whys and all that kind of stuff to the degree I can, and it's important to me to have a method of doing that without messing up everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, and it seems that these steps can do that for me, so I just believe that a whole recovery is a way of life, and you know, you can see if you go to the real big Protestant churches in the U.S., for instance, now recovery is often the top theme in the whole church. So anybody in leadership needs to have a good look at themselves, and probably the best way out there to do that is with one of these 12-step formulas. So I'm an advocate and a great believer. I mean, there's probably 10 million people on the planet, like right this minute, who were sober, and I don't mean just from drinking, or it could be gambling, sex, it could be alcohol, it could be anything. But there's 10 million sober people working a program like this, and for every person who's working a program like this, there's probably 5 to 10 other people that are living a much better life because they're doing this. So, you know, just extrapolate that and then move it out into the mental illness and all the other things, and we quickly have a great big chunk of this world falling into the same boat. So that's kind of where we're at, and maybe I'll get you to put together a little bit of final thoughts on inventory, and we'll do a wrap after that. What do you think?
For me to remain sober, I have to, like I said previously, I have to do a hard examination about my motives. Do I have ulterior motives? Is my yes, yes, and my no, no? Part of my addictive nature and personality is people-pleasing. Am I falling into that where people-pleasing is coming before my own recovery? Because if that's the case, shortly after, I will witness within myself that I'm beginning to go down a really, really treacherous path. And with this program, I'm being taught how to pull back and say, no, Shannon, you deserve something different. You've made the decision time and time again. This is not what you want. So I found freedom in that. And it was that understanding of we deserve better. For me, I have a genetic predisposition towards addiction.
Yep.
And understanding that,
huge.
It was tremendous towards my recovery.
Yep. That's huge, Shannon, and that's, folks out there, that's what's behind addiction. Addiction's a disease. I don't care if you're a believer in anything or nothing. It's proven, as far as I'm concerned, it's accepted in the American Medical Association as a disease, and there's no question they can check brain activity now and how different parts work for an addict versus a non-addict. And there's definite distinctions that can be brought down and seen. And I've heard thousands of stories now of people, and partly of my own story, that, you know, there comes a point when people with the genetic predisposition will cross a line, and there's like no turning back, you know, without a lot of help and a spiritual entity, it seems. It doesn't seem to work very well without that. So, folks out there, let it be said that, I believe Shannon agrees with this too, that to the degree we try to be in control, to that degree we won't be. And it sounds simplistic and fatal and overdone, but it's true. You know, it really is. There's almost like a mathematical proportionate inverse factor of some sort there. And, you know, to the degree we try and control things, to that degree things go sideways. And I think with that we're going to do a bit of a wrap. And I want to thank you very much, Shannon. Thank you for being so honest and so out there and able to share, and for believing that sharing our burdens is probably the greatest thing we can do for others. And we don't know who that particular other is who needs to see or hear how we got by a certain burden, you know, like recently or something. Otherwise, they're not going to make it. And we don't want to live without running into that person one way or another. So thank you very much. And
thanks for inviting me on the show, Scott.
We look forward to having you back again, if you would, too. So. With that, I think we'll say
adios. Have a great day, everybody. You are listening to Share the Burden with Scott Duncan and Shannon. Thanks for being here.
Thanks all for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you will share it online. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.